Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Mark Cochran and Isaac Feynman, and we're so glad you came to our show today. We are going to talk about something that's passionate to you and to many of us, and that is how to get the message across to the population in an appealing way, in an engaging way, engage to persuade, so to speak. So just tell us a little bit about, let's start with Mark Cochran. Mark Cochran, in your web address that we'd like to point our audience to is www.fdnhfilm.com. So just set the stage for us here.
Well, we have produced a film called First Do No Harm, hence the first letters of the titles in the webpage, fdnhfilm.com. And it's a short film, about 17 minutes, and it deals with the issue of abortion. Dealt with in a way, presented in a way probably nobody's ever heard it before. And we actually juxtapose two events that are more and more popular, or not popular, more and more. We juxtapose two events that happen more and more in our culture, one being a school shooting, and the other is the terrible Holocaust, if you will, that goes on in abortion clinics. And we cause the audience through this narrative to examine those two issues and see the similarities, and we leave them with a question: what's the difference? What's the difference between a crazed gunman coming in and shooting children in a school and what an abortion doctor does day in and day out by killing the young in the mother's womb?
Now, you began your ministry about how many years ago?
Well, I've been in the production business since 1984. And this is really the first ministry-related type thing. I've done ministry-related videos for missionaries and churches and things like that. But the first narrative film project dealing with an issue like this that I've ever done. I've done other film projects that we did just a family adventure film a number of years ago. That good, clean family fun, not evangelistic at all. But this is the first thing that I've ever done that's taken on an issue and really hit it head on like this.
So, as a young person, can you kind of lead us up to how you knew you were going to be involved in film? You know, in the traditional Christian audience, mm-hmm. families often discourage their children from
sure.
doing things with film.
As did my parents years ago. I actually wanted to be in film from a very young age and started out as a cinema major in college. And that lasted a very short time. Basically because at that point, this was 1977,
yes.
there really was no Christian film, except for Billy Graham was the only person that was doing any Christian film at the time. We didn't have Sherwood Films and mm-hmm. all the add-ons with all the Sony and Fox and
yes.
and Warner. And so their question to me was, what are you going to do with this? You know, their fear was I'd go off to Hollywood and be corrupted, which was probably, you know, mm-hmm. a worthwhile concern. And so I ended up just going into business management, thinking, well, I'll probably never be able to do anything with this. And then,
wow, clear from the right brain to the left brain.
Yeah,
yeah, business management.
So
film.
I, in 1984, I started doing some work for a friend of mine who owned a company out of Chicago. He just needed some video work done. And I had been playing with it kind of as, on a consumer level for a number of years. And I did a video for him, and he needed, at that point, I need a bunch of copies. This is back in the VHS days. So I started making VHS copies and actually started a company that just did VHS duplication for a number of years. And VHS and audio cassette, which both of those are kind of dinosaurs now, or relics of the old age. But and then from that, got into doing corporate and industrial video production, product informational things, orientation videos, things that corporations would use both internally and some broadcast commercial work. And in 2010, did a film called More Than Diamonds, morethandiamondsmovie.com, if you want to see it. It's just a family adventure film that did fairly well. It's selling at ChristianCinema.com and Amazon and some other areas like that. But that got me hooked on the film part of it as opposed to mm-hmm. the corporate and industrial video production. And as I was telling your husband, in February of last year, I was on my way to Paducah, Kentucky to do work on a television show because I've been doing a lot of audio, location audio for television, on a reality show in Paducah, Kentucky, of all places. And this story just kind of dropped out of heaven into my lap, and I dictated dialogue into my phone as I was driving and called a good friend of mine I've known for years and just bounced the idea off of him. I said, I've got this concept, and I want to do a little film. And at that point, my only thought was, I was going to do a little YouTube video. I mean, it was going to be just something we just put out there. I just wanted to get the conversation started in a way people hadn't thought of it before. And people have come alongside since then, and it's been elevated to a much higher level in terms of production value and people that have been brought to the project. It's grown, and it actually continues to grow much more than I ever thought it would. We've established or developed kind of a gravitational pull, I think. So people are coming alongside saying, I love that story. I like this project. I want to be involved in some way. And actually, Isaac Feynman is sitting here with me. He's been helping with promotion and PR and bringing some people together mm-hmm. To the project. And just 2 weeks ago, Isaac, tell us about the latest person to come alongside into this project.
Well, Bruce, thanks for having us today.
Yes.
By the way, we really appreciate the opportunity. It was interesting through a friendship that I have with a man named John Waller. You may know his music from Fireproof Movie and Courageous Movie. We were having a conversation, and another colleague of mine, Jack Eason, with the HeartShare Group, we were talking, and John is going to be coming to the area where Mark and I live, and going to be working on a concert there, and we were talking.
Our audience knows that when we come to these conventions, sometimes there's a lot of extraneous noise. Yeah, they're cranking up something. We can just
cranking up a light tree. Yeah. I'm sorry, I have real bad ADD, so I'm trying to.
Yeah, well, I have ADD, sensory processing disorder. Maybe I'm a high spectrum autistic person, Asperger syndrome. So
let me just pick up where you left off. Rose, it's really great to be with you today, by the way. Thank you for the opportunity, and I'm glad to be here with Mark.
I think it was a God thing, really.
Yeah, and our friends, if they knew how we actually came to the microphone today to sit down with you, it's quite a story in its own. But the person you're talking about, Mark, is our dear friend John Waller, and you may know John.
We have interviewed him a couple of times.
Great. Yeah, you may know John from Fireproof Movie. He did the movie, the song rather, While I'm Waiting.
Mm-hmm.
As for Me and My House was on Courageous. Both incredible music videos as well. Great songs and music videos. Well, he has a new project coming out called Life is a Gift.
Mm.
And through a collaboration with another mutual friend of Mark and I's, a gentleman named Jack Eason with the HeartShare Group, we actually collaborated together to bring John onto our project and presented him with the opportunity, and he was just really excited about that and gave us the title track of his project, Life is a Gift. We actually have filmed a music video specifically for the song that'll play in conjunction with the movie, and he's taking the song on the road with him with a new tour he's a part of, and we'll play that video behind him as he does the concert and does the song in concert. And so there'll be promotion of our film, First Do No Harm. But I tell you, the message of this film, the central message of this film, is so important and so powerful, Rose. I really am excited for your audience to get a hold of it.
And the film that we're talking about is called First Do No Harm. The website is www. And then the initials for First Do No Harm, fdnhfilm.com. And we're talking with with Mark Cochran and Isaac Feynman.
Yeah. And the neat thing about that that website that we want our friends to know is today, right now, you can pull it up on your phone. You can pull it up on your computer at home or your office and watch the trailer. And one of the greatest things that we're asking people to do, Rose and Mark, is just to pray for this ministry. Mm-hmm. We need so much prayer because as you and Mark continue to discuss, you're going to hear the message is powerful and it connects mm-hmm. with so many different things that are going on in current culture. And we were very intentional about that, the way that he wrote the film and the way we designed the production of this film to really connect with people on so many different levels.
You've been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media. You know, be sure and like Education Currents on Facebook and also consider partnering with us in this educational ministry. You can share your resources or show ideas. My address is P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call me at 301-824-3162. Welcome back to Education Currents. I believe that every person on the face of the earth, if they choose to follow God, they have a message that only they can give. And the world is impoverished when they aren't allowed to give it. Or maybe their life is stopped before they're even born, and that has impoverished us in such a huge way. So we're talking about First Do No Harm. This is for what age group?
Well, that's interesting. It's for all age groups, although there is some violence in the film. It's not shown, but there is a school shooting. We don't actually show anybody getting shot, but there's some shouting, and you see people that have been shot. The story, just briefly, takes an elementary school janitor, Jesus Torres, and through 2 days in his life. The first day is actually the last day of the school year, and everybody's happy about that. Summer's coming, and they're making their plans to go to Disney World or put in a pool in the summer or whatever they're going to do, and there's a school shooting that last day, early in the beginning of the school day. And Jesus and his wife have been married 7 years or so and have not been able to have children of their own. And so he's adopted all these kids as his own. They love him and he loves them, and they have that kind of relationship. So when he hears a commotion and shots fired, it's very personal for him. These are his children that are being impacted. And so he puts himself in harm's way to stop the shooting, which he does. And I'm not going to tell too much about the story. There are a lot of twists and turns in the short 17-minute segment. But he later comes face-to-face with the abortion issue and starts to put together in his mind the reality that there's a lot of similarity here. I mean, when there's a school shooting, and this is what I thought about when I was driving down the road. I said, you know, this was shortly after Sandy Hook. And he said, when there's a school shooting, prayer vigils are held, shrines are built, the nation comes to a halt, mm-hmm. and that's good. That should happen. But it happens every day in and day out, mm-hmm. in abortion clinics, and it's a non-event.
Yeah.
And I had such a difficult time wrapping my mind intellectually around mm-hmm. that concept, the cognitive dissonance that has to be present for us to hold these two scenarios in our mind and not just go nuts.
Now, do you have any comparative statistics? Because actually the abortion issue is much
well, this is
larger
absolutely. And what I say, when you go on the website, there's a video tab that you can click, and there's an introduction video that I did before we started shooting where I drew all this out and talked about the numbers. And I made the statement that these things are similar. However, what goes in an abortion clinic is exponentially worse, mm-hmm. for a couple of reasons. Number one, the numbers are much, much, much mm-hmm. higher. And two, the motivation is mercenary. It's for money. It's not because when somebody does a school shooting or something like that, as deranged as they are, they have a cause mm-hmm. in mind usually. I mean, they're doing something for a reason, not just for the
convenience
the building of their own financial house. So, and the doctors do this in a way that violates the very oath that they take, which is the title of. Mm-hmm. of the film First Do No Harm.
And for our listening friends, Rose, just to put numbers to it, since you asked, there may be folks listening today that this may be a newer topic for them, or they may have heard of abortion, but they may not know. A recent statistic said just this year, by the way, on the Drudge Report, 55 million is the number. Now, of course, we know, you know, there's give or take on that number, but still, conservatively, even if it was 50 million, say it was 25 million, say it was 5 million, one life, one precious life, a baby born and made in the image of God, created in the image of God, one life is too many to snuff out.
Mm-hmm. Can I put some perspective to that for you, too? And I don't remember the actual details, but it's on that video I told you about. We're talking about the total populations of seven states in the United States, complete population of seven states. I just saw recently it's the complete population of the top 75 cities in the United States.
That are being annihilated.
That have been since 1973. Entire populations of the top 75 most populous cities in the United States. That's just unbelievable.
So human beings have taken into their hands gifts that God has given for humanity, the cures for disease, scientific innovations, and we'll never know because they've been destroyed before they even had a chance to give those gifts.
That's correct. It's an astonishing thing, and I think part of the reason we have a difficulty with it is the numbers are so high we can't even conceive of them. I mean, nobody even knows. You can't count to 55 million.
Yeah.
These are numbers that, unless you're in Congress, you don't deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And, of course, they deal with it like it's nothing. But I don't think most people can even wrap their mind around that kind of atrocity.
Yes. And, unfortunately, the Christian world has kind of buried their head in the sand. I know some denominations took no stance. They wanted to be neutral. And my feeling is when you're neutral in this, you're definitely taking a stand.
You're complicit in the matter.
Yes.
You're either with me or you're against me. And I think there's a, in doing this project, I think we've kind of come to some understanding of why that's true in talking to pro-life leaders and so forth. And there are a couple of reasons. One is the statistics say that one out of every four women in the United States will have an abortion. It's 25%.
Wow.
And so that being the case, we know that some of those are going to be in pews sitting next to you, right? I mean, that's just the reality of it. And so pastors are very sensitive and probably timid, and it boils down to a fear of man. They don't want to stir that pot. I mean, and quite frankly, these are women, many of them, that even though they have been converted, they still hold a terrible burden of guilt.
They do.
So instead of doing, I think, in my estimation, instead of doing the hard work of working with these women and shepherding them through this issue to a full redemption and understanding of their place in Christ and their forgiveness, they just don't talk about it.
Unfortunately, then, it doesn't give a clear message to the young women coming up.
That's correct.
And I know a couple of younger women who went through the experience and had no idea what impact it was going to have on their spirituality, on their emotions, the deep, dark depression they went through, and there was no avenue for them to grieve about it. I mean, the guilt overshadowed their grief. They felt like they had no place to turn because they felt...
Because it's just not talked about.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah. There just was nothing set up for them.
Yeah. We had a leader of a large pregnancy resource center in the upstate of South Carolina tell us that when she was speaking in a church, she had a woman come up to her and say, "I am so glad you talked about this because when I was younger, I had an abortion. Now I have a husband and children, and I bring them to church because they need to hear the message." But she said, "I don't think there's anything here for me." She said, "This is a cloud hanging over me, and I don't think there's any redemption for me." And her reasoning was because it's never talked about.
Yeah.
So her assumption, internalized anyway, was that it must be so horrific that there's no hope for me. And that's really sad.
It is.
That somebody would think that, and it's understandable.
And I think that that's the message that needs to be, you know, there needs to be a warning. Don't go this way. But if you have, there is a redeeming God there for you.
Yeah, sure. It's the message of every other sin people fall into.
Right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he forgives you, but you still have that... The consequence
still
of that action,
sure.
it still will bear upon you. You've taken the life of another human being.
And that's one of the things that we're trying to do with this film, and that I really appreciate about Mark and his heart and some of the alliances that we've developed, is like he mentioned, the Crisis Pregnancy Center there in South Carolina. We have developed an amazing relationship with them, and they have an abortion recovery ministry that is national. It's not just for folks in our area where we live in Greenville, South Carolina, but it's all over. And I think, to your point, Rose, we are really good as Christians, unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, we're really good at pointing out the problem.
Yes.
You know, we're really good at that. And I think one area that we could do well to improve on is being a part of the solution and recognizing, yeah, there is an issue. And yes, there are millions of women that are hurting and dealing with this issue. But to just, and I like what Mark says, to just curse the darkness is not good enough. We have to shine that light of hope and that light of truth. And that's one of the things that we appreciate about your ministry here, is that you're providing solutions for your audience. You're pointing them in the right direction. And this film was really produced for that purpose, to shine the light, to point out the problem. This is the stark reality of what's going on. But let's partner with churches. Let's partner with pregnancy care centers and provide a practical, intentional solution to that problem.
Amen.
And in that vein, tell me, Isaac, tell the people about what we're going to do on the DVD that will help to do
that. Well, our dear friend, Dr. R.C. Sproul Jr., we were having a conversation with him, and, you know, at the end of the film, you're confronted with the question, what is the difference between a school shooting and the abortion clinic activity? What is that difference? And then the film fades to black. And it's pretty powerful. The closing is very powerful. And so in that conversation with R.C. Jr., we were talking with him, and we said, you know, R.C., that's going to leave people hanging. What do we do? And I posed the question to him, what do you think about a panel? What if we had a feature on the DVD where we have people that can speak to the issue of, now that you've seen this film, here's what to do. And obviously then juxtaposes, here's what you should not do. And he thought that was great, and we agreed. And so we've been working very diligently. And at the time of the recording of this broadcast today, we're still in the process of formulating that panel. Lord willing, by the time this program airs, hopefully that will be completed and recorded and available as an added feature on the DVD. But I got to tell you, I really want to encourage your audience to find ways that you can plug in locally with your Crisis Pregnancy Center, with your church. There are incredible opportunities for you to start a ministry like this in your church if you don't have that. Our film is one tool, one resource, and we'd be glad to put that in your hand. You can contact us, Rose, as you've already said, fdnhfilm.com. But there's a plethora of resources out there, wonderful ministries and organizations that want to speak to this issue. And I just boldly encourage you and challenge you, plug in, because it's an important message that needs to get out there.
Amen. Well, we've come to the end of the show. I've been talking with Mark Cochran and Isaac Feynman, and you are the creator of the short film First Do No Harm. And we've been talking about a subject that I don't think we've ever handled on the show, but that needed to be addressed. And I praise God for the leading. I have one last thing to say, and that is, God bless.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.